When it comes to Christ, we who know the true Jesus Christ also know that there will be a false Jesus. Jesus said that in the last days, many Christs would rise up, false messiahs would rise up. And we have discovered in our studies of the scriptures, not only in Revelation, but throughout the Bible, that the Bible predicts a ruler to come to the earth who will be a false messiah, a false Christ.
Jesus' life fulfills the messianic prophecies found in the Bible. Though many have fought against this, he proved that he is the Messiah. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig looks at the world's fastest growing religion to see if there's an interface with the Bible's predictions about what's next. Before we begin, Skip wants to share about one way married couples can grow in their marriage.
Okay, so picture this. You blissfully awaken to the soft rays of the sun warming your face. Step out of your oversized guest room onto your lanai to the delight in the tropical surroundings. Walk along the sandy beach hand in hand with your spouse and take a stroll over to the garden lawn to sing praises to the Lord during morning worship led by Mercy Me or Francesca Battistelli, followed by a teaching from me and my wife, Lenya. And, well, that's just the beginning. Join us on the Love Song Couples Getaway, May 28th through June 3rd, 2017, at the magnificent Grand Hyatt Kauai. It's the resort and spa right there on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. You'll create memories that will last a lifetime. Visit lovesonggetaway.com for more information.
We live in a day and age that is filled with both political and religious unrest. What can we do to help others see the truth of Christ? Here's Skip Heitzig.
I think we need to give the world a dose of the real Jesus, the living Christ, living in us, powerful in us, loving through us, living through us, because the false Jesus is coming.
Learn more about this false Jesus with this month's resource from The Connection. For a donation of $30 or more, you'll receive The Coming Deception, a teaching by Skip that outlines the eschatology of the world's fastest growing religion, Islam. You will also get Skip's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, a guide to end times prophecy. In addition, you'll receive two booklets by Skip, Jesus Loves Terrorists and Standing Firm in Unsettling Times. To order, visit connectiononline.org/offers or by calling 800-922-1888.
Now, we invite you to open your Bibles or your Bible apps to Ephesians chapter 5 as Skip starts today's study.
At the airport, there were some baggage handlers who went to the luggage bay to take out one of those animal carriers, and they discovered that the dog inside the animal carrier was dead. So they panicked and they thought of a lawsuit that would come their way. And so to mitigate against that, they called the owner of that pet and said, "Hey, your dog has been sent to a different destination, but we promise we'll retrieve the dog and bring it to your house." She said, "Fine." In the meantime, they found a living dog that looked very similar to the one that had died, and they put it in its place, hoping to fool the woman. Well, when they came to her house and delivered her living dog in that animal carrier, she took one look at it and said, "That's not my dog. My dog is dead. I was bringing it home for burial." It's hard to deceive somebody who knows the truth. You don't trick a dog owner who knows its dog, because he or she knows its dog and knows what's not the real dog. And when it comes to Christ, we who know the true Jesus Christ also know that there will be a false Jesus. Jesus said that in the last days, many Christs would rise up, false messiahs would rise up. And we have discovered in our studies of the scriptures, not only in Revelation, but throughout the Bible, that the Bible predicts a ruler to come to the earth who will be a false Messiah, a false Christ. A few years ago in Florida, during Christmas season, when people put nativity sets out, some of them do, on their front lawns, a couple had their baby Jesus stolen. This is in Wellington, Florida. a wealthy community. And this was a very expensive nativity set. To replace baby Jesus cost them $1,800. So it was an expensive nativity set. It was stolen 1 year. The second year, the replacement Jesus was also stolen from the nativity set. The third year, they decided to employ a clever tactic. They put a GPS tracker inside baby Jesus, just in case. Well, sure enough, Jesus got stolen, and they went to the thief's home. They found Jesus at her house, an 18-year-old young woman who stole Jesus 3 years in a row. It didn't just happen in Wellington, Florida. It also happened in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. This was not an expensive Jesus. This was a plastic Jesus. He was stolen along with the chain attached to the plastic Jesus, along with a cement block attached to the chain attached to the baby Jesus, all there to prevent somebody from stealing the baby Jesus. It was stolen. Come to find out, there's actually something called the stolen baby Jesus syndrome. You can look it up, Google it, not now, but at home. That every year there's some wiseacre who wants to either play a joke or who's against Christmas who steals baby Jesus. Sometimes when one is stolen, a replacement is put in the crib. A little doll, a stuffed animal, a substitute Jesus. The Bible predicts a coming leader who will be a substitute Messiah and deceive the world. If that's even possible, to deceive the whole world. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. But the Antichrist will do a pretty good job of deceiving most all of the world, as we saw last time when we were together. And we made a discovery, and that is that the devil's primary plan for the last days is to raise up two individuals. One that we typically call the Antichrist, along with somebody else called the false prophet, instruments of deception sent to this world. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat as we get into the rest of Revelation 13, this sermon is going to be a controversial one. Not that the other ones aren't. But this one especially will be in light of our current environment, in light of what's happening in the news these days, and with a politically correct environment that we live in. So what I want to do in looking at this chapter is give you three categories regarding the future. And they're simple divisions: what we know, what we're told, and what we hope. What we know to be true from the scripture, what we're told by some we're going to see in the future, and what we hope. Let's begin with what we know, and let's go and look at Revelation 13, verse 11. Then I saw, John said, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both great and small, or small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 6. 666. Without speculation, here's what we know. We know that someone that we call Antichrist is coming. We know that for sure. Jesus predicted it. Daniel said it. John, Paul, they all predicted that some ruler whom John called Antichrist, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. We know that for sure. Last week, we took a look at him. John saw in the beginning part of this chapter a beast rising up out of the sea. And we showed you that in the Bible, sea is often emblematic of nations, especially Gentile nations. We also saw that he will be given a universal authority and adoration. We gave you a sixfold description of the Antichrist: wickedness, world dominion, wonder, worship, words, and war. That was last week's outline. We discovered he's going to persecute God's people, verse 7, Revelation 13. He will target Jews and Christians, verse 10 even says, killing them with the sword. And then we will discover in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation that they are beheaded for their faith in Christ. Daniel chapter 9 tells us this world ruler will make some kind of a covenant for 7 years with the Jews regarding their temple and regarding their land, and he will renege on that contract in the middle of that 7-year period. Jesus called that event the abomination of desolation. He, Jesus, said in Matthew 24, that event will take place in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And he tells everybody in Jerusalem, every Jewish person, to flee to the mountains when that happens. Because this ruler's headquarters will be set up in Jerusalem, in Israel. Moreover, if you just think back a couple of studies, we noted that the Antichrist is depicted as the first rider in chapter 6 on the white horse. He comes conquering and to conquer. And we discovered that after he comes, though he brings peace at first, he will bring in carnage and devastation to follow. So that we know. We know that for sure. Somebody is coming in the future. Don't know when, don't know who it is. Here's the second thing we know for sure. Besides the Antichrist, he's not alone. He's going to have a religious counterpart. I believe we see him here in the second part of Revelation 13. He is called the false prophet. Not here, but three places in the book of Revelation. Chapter 16, verse 13, chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 10, all talk about the beast and the false prophet. The dragon, Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, we notice that this second beast rises up out of the earth. Not like the first beast that rises up out of the sea, this rises up out of the earth. Literally, the term earth means the land, and that's why some Bible commentators have speculated that the false prophet, the second beast, is Jewish because the land often refers to the Holy Land, the land of Israel. So the Antichrist then, they say, rises up out of the sea of nations, the Gentiles, which is often emblematic in the scripture of Gentile nations, we discovered last time, but that the false prophet could be Jewish. Moreover, notice his description. He has two horns like what? Like a lamb. This is a kinder and gentler beast. This is different from the first beast rising up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns. This has 2 horns like a lamb, but when he speaks deception. He speaks like a dragon. Notice also there's no crowns on his head like the first beast. And that is because his authority is not political authority. It's not governmental authority. This is spiritual authority. His primary role is to deceive people into a worship system. Notice it says he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs that he is granted to do in the presence of the beast. So his primary deception, or his primary role is deception. His primary means of that deception is by miraculous signs. And his primary incentive, get this, is the economy. Because the economy will be so bad, we've already discovered during that time, millions, even billions of people will die on the earth through a number of things that happen, including starvation. People's vulnerability will be at an all-time high. They will be willing to do anything if it means feeding their families, their children, etc. And so the incentive behind this is that you cannot buy or sell unless you take a specific mark. We don't know how that's going to turn out exactly. It could be much like the city requires a chip to be placed in your pet so they can keep track of it and tell the history of it. That could happen with humans. Now, for years, prophecy buffs and Bible commentators have all thought that the empire that will rise at the end of days, the revived Roman Empire, they have said, is probably going to happen in Europe, and they have even said with the European common market, the 10 nations at one time. Now there are many more coming and going in the common market. But for years, people have looked for a leader to come, a secular leader out of the European nations, because they say geographically that was the old Roman Empire, the continent of Europe. But let me suggest a different direction and a different way to look at that this morning. When we talk about the revived Roman Empire, here's what we have to discover. You know, that whole idea came about with the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 2. Remember, he saw the polymetallic image, head of gold, chest of silver, stomach and thighs of bronze, and two legs of iron, which represented the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire that ruled the world at one time. But then there were 10 toes of iron and clay, and they say that is the revived Roman Empire. Just like the 10 horns that are mentioned in Revelation. 10 toes, 10 horns. We can see the similarities. However, just like there were two legs on that statue that did speak of the Roman Empire, did you know that the Roman Empire, like the legs, split in 395 AD? That there was an eastern branch as well as a western branch of the Roman Empire? And that the western branch died out pretty quickly, but the eastern branch lived on for another 1,000 years. And its headquarters was Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. Now, here's something else to realize. When we talk about the Roman Empire that ruled the world, including Israel, etc., Europe, etc., what most people don't realize is that 60% of the Roman Empire at the time of Jesus Christ, the time of the New Testament, 60% are lands that are today occupied by Islam. Most of the land mass of the Roman Empire today is occupied and controlled by Muslims. Now, I understand something. It is not fashionable, first of all, to even talk about this in church. It is certainly not fashionable or politically correct to talk about this in the public square. It is fashionable to lump all religions in one little basket and say they're all the same. And whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Islam, it's all the same God with a different name. And it's fashionable to get the coexist bumper sticker and stick it on your Subaru and happily go down the road. However, what is fashionable is not always biblical. And I think we need to not only look at the Bible, but look at what's happening around the world at this time in our history and make a different suggestion. Do you know that today there is an Islamic revival like never seen before? And do you know that the revival in this country, conversions to Islam, have gone up and up and up since September 11th, 2001. It's quadrupled. Before September 11th, 2001, 25,000 Americans every year converted to Islam. Since 9/11, over 100,000 Americans every year convert to Islam. Those are the going rates. Islam will pass Christianity as the world's largest religion in less than 20 years. According to one source, one half of all global births will be Muslim by the year 2055. Now, as you look at the news, I hope you do look at the news. I hope you read it. I hope you listen to it. Have you ever wondered things like, why am I hearing so much about Islam? I guarantee you have heard more about Islam in the last decade or 5 years even than you have your whole lifetime. And you wonder, why? Why am I hearing so much about it? What's really happening in the Middle East? Well, what's this deal with ISIS? Are they done yet? What's this idea of a caliphate I hear about? I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say and listen carefully to the news that is coming out, because you may be looking at the future. Now, that's what we know. We know what we have just stated. Antichrist is coming, false prophet is coming, don't know when, don't know who. Let me give you a second category. This is what we're told. This is what we are told by the fastest growing religion in the world, Islam, about the end times. Did you know that Islam has an eschatology? Let me back up. Do you know what an eschatology is? Eschatology means the study of last things, the doctrine of last things or end time events. We have an eschatology. The Bible tells us what's going to happen in the end of days. Did you know that Islam has an eschatology? Most Christians really don't know much about Islam, and few Christians know little or nothing when it comes to Islamic eschatology. They have an end time scenario. Lately, that eschatology has been leaking out on the news with events like San Bernardino, California, and Brussels, Belgium, and Paris, and ISIS beheadings. And now this talk about a caliph and a caliphate. By the way, the caliphate is a real deal. There's a land occupied by ISIS today that is larger than Great Britain. It is controlled by them, and it is growing in that part of the world. So Muslims look at you Christians, and they have a name for you. Well, they have several names for you, but one of the names, the polite name for you, is you are people of the book. We are people of the book. Jews and Christians are called by Muslims respectfully people of the book, because we hold to the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. So we are people of the book. However, our books have been corrupted. The Old and New Testament were original words that have been corrupted by Jews and Christians, so thus the only reliable source of revelation is the Quran. And Muslims have two sources for their authority: the Quran, which they say are the direct words of Allah, and the second is the Sunnah, sometimes called the Hadiths. And the Sunnah are the words and the works of Muhammad the Prophet. So between the Quran, the words of Allah, and the Sunnah, the words and works of Muhammad, they develop their authority for everything. According to Islamic theology, they see the end of days as being ushered in by three great signs, and all three are in the form of a person that is coming, three persons. The first sign, the first person, they say, is the Mahdi, M-A-H-D-I, if you're taking notes. The Mahdi is equivalent to the Messiah. The word Mahdi means the guided one. He is also called the awaited savior, the Lord of the age, and the 12th imam. What will the Mahdi do? What will their awaited savior come to do? This is what he'll come to do. He'll set up a new world order, an Islamic caliphate that is civil, political, and spiritual. He will lead a world revolution to establish Islam throughout the world. Throughout the world. They want nothing less than world domination.
Have you taken the time to study the beliefs of Islam? It's important that we do, so we can partner with the Holy Spirit to reach out to Muslims. Well, do you want to be refreshed by a good dose of God's creation? Pastor Skip is hosting a cruise to Alaska in 2017. Visit inspirationcruises.com/CCAB for all the info. Now, here's a brief word from Skip about how much we value your support here at The Connection.
It's no exaggeration to say we are hugely grateful to those in The Connection audience who want to see this program expand. The Connection Radio Ministry exists because of our faithful listeners and their prayers and financial support. Our goal is to ignite a passion for God and His Word in the lives of people around the world. When you support The Connection, you come alongside us in that important work. Here's how you can partner with us today.
visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to give a financial gift today. Thank you for your generosity. Did you know that at connectiononline.org, you can find more of Skip's messages, where he has over 3,000 teachings? You can even take notes as you listen. You'll also find articles, devotionals, and special offers and resources from Skip. Once again, that's connectiononline.org. Next week, Skip continues our study of the book of Revelation, examining what's next in our future.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. Connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.